bow for prayer. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer.
The one who loved us so much, he was willing to come and die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Father, we praise you for that act of mercy and love untold. And we praise you that that sacrifice was complete. As believers in him today, we need not fear the judgment that's coming. We know that it is coming. We were talking about it in Sunday school. But Father, we praise you that in Jesus we are safe, even as Noah and his family in the ark was safe when the floods came. The children of Israel were safe in the Passover when the death angel came. We are protected. We are in Christ. We are born again. We are sealed by the Spirit, covered by the blood. And Father, we are so thankful and praise your name for sending your Son. Thank you for your great glory and wisdom in this plan of salvation. And we praise you that we have a part now as your children in proclaiming that message to others. We pray that we'd be faithful to do that. We thank you for this hour where we can worship you together and build each other up on our common faith. It's such a joy to be with fellow believers and to worship you together. We pray that you'd be pleased with all that happens during this hour in our worship and praise, prayer time, the ministry of the word. Fill Pastor with your Spirit. Use him to convey your message to us today, and may it fall on fertile hearts and soil and bear much fruit. We thank you, Father, again for this hour and commit all of it to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Isaiah chapter 37. Verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And he said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Reseph and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Eva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. And they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Look down to verse 33. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer his sons smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story that we read about King Hezekiah and how you blessed him, how he opened the word of God and understood what you were going to do. We thank you for Isaiah, this prophet, who stood in the breaches, proclaimed the word of God. Even in the midst of all of the crises that were going on at that time with the Assyrian army right there at the doorstep. And Lord, we know today that there are many enemies that we have to face up to. We need to come to you and know that you are so much greater than any foe that we might have. And so we pray, help us. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Find the strength, courage to keep on going and to be faithful in every area of life. Lord, we just pray today that you'll bless your word to our hearts and encourage us. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged, Lord, as we think about all of these things that are happening around the world and the ungodly things that are happening in our own country with all these laws that they're passing and things that are contrary to your holy will. So, Lord, we just pray that we will look to you, find the strength and health that we need. We pray for our missionaries today, our Father. We think of the Murphy family out there in Arizona carrying on this wonderful work that they're doing, reaching so many people in various ways. And we think especially of Nathan, who's going into the prisons and jails and proclaiming the word of God and teaching these men the truth. We thank you for this one we read about, Lord, who had a complete change when he came to Christ and put his faith and trust in him. Lord, we just thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So we pray, Lord, may we love you and may we serve you. Be with those today who are struggling. There may be someone here this morning that is discouraged. We pray that you'll strengthen each one and help us to look to you for every need that we have. We pray for those who are sick in various ways that you might touch and heal them. We pray that your holy will would be accomplished through it all. Thank you so much for all your blessings to us. Lead and guide in all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn once again to Isaiah chapter 37. We've been looking at the prophet Isaiah now for a few weeks. And there's different sections that we have in between the two main divisions of Isaiah's prophecy. We find this historical interlude about King Hezekiah and what was happening there in his life. His story is told in a very interesting way in various places. We find it also in 2 Kings 18 through 20 and 2 Chronicles 29 through 32. And they say that apart from David and Solomon, the kings, that there's more said about Hezekiah than any other king in the Old Testament. So he's a very important person and one who loved God and served him. He's a faithful king. He was the 13th king of Judah and considered one of the best kings that they ever had. His name actually means Jehovah is strength. And he strengthened himself in the Lord in all of these situations in which he found himself. And especially as we see here in this situation facing the great nation of Assyria that was overthrowing every country around and about, and they came there to Jerusalem. Hezekiah reigned over Judah from 715 to 687 B.C., so quite a while he was the king there. Let's look for a moment over in 2 Kings 18, where it starts off about how he started his reign. Here in 2 Kings 18, in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." So a good word spoken about him here. He was just a young man when he started out, 25 years old. The son of King Ahaz, one of the wicked kings, the one who had set up the idols and everything. And Hezekiah had a choice as to how he was going to rule. Again, in 2 Kings 18, verse 4, let's take a look at what he chooses to do with his reign. In verse 4, "He removed the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." You remember that serpent where they, when the snakes came in and they were biting everyone, and the Lord said to make this brazen serpent and set it up on a pole, and whoever would look at it after they were bitten by the snakes would be healed. And they did, right? Many of them were saved. But then, notice what happens. You see the corruption of people? They take that very instrument that God gave them for salvation and turn around and worship it. Instead of worshiping God, instead of following Him, they take and start to worship this idol, the brazen serpent. And then it says in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Now, isn't that the very same thing it said about Josiah? So I guess they must have been very close to each other, right? Must have been good people. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. So here we find the choices that he was making. He did not continue in the idolatry of his father, turned against him. How often do we see in the scriptures, you know, it's interesting to see these wicked kings, all that they were doing and worshiping idols, and then occasionally at least, one of their sons would come along and rebuke all of that and turn around and worship the Lord and him only. His first official act was to reopen and purify God's house of worship. He opened up the temple once again. This is in 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. See, is that it? Yeah. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. First thing he did, you notice? He opened up the house of the Lord, the temple that people would worship and serve the Lord. Putting him first, you know? Number one, God is going to be praised in this kingdom. He destroyed all the idols, the heathen places of worship, tore all them down. He then destroyed the brazen serpent, as we said, and so that people would not be worshiping these idols. It's like he took the words of Joshua. You remember Joshua and his motto? He said, you can worship whatever you want to, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what Hezekiah is doing here. In spite of the tendency that the people had to go astray, he was determined that he's going to lead them in the right way. So he made this choice to put God first and foremost in his life. You know, that's one of the best things we can ever do, isn't it? Think of that. Put God first in whatever you're doing in all of your life. And honor and magnify his name in everything that we do and say. We see then he has this conflict with Assyria. Now Assyria, as I said, had taken over practically the whole area, right? And Judah was under their patronage, so to speak. But he rebelled against Assyria, the great power of his time. His father had made a covenant with Assyria years before, and now Judah was forced to pay tribute. Every year they had to bring so much gold and silver and other things to Assyria. Hezekiah desired to build up his own country, you know, Israel first, or Judah first, or whatever, America first, whatever you want to say. Anyway, he chose to build up his country. And he therefore refused to honor the covenant with Assyria. Now, what do you think is going to happen? We already know. We read it, didn't we? Here they come. Here they come against the city. They're going to take over. They're taking over all the towns and villages throughout the area. And they come up to the gates of Jerusalem. So this is the conflict that we see here. For a while, everything went pretty well, you know. But then Hezekiah had to face the fact that Assyria was going to be stronger than they are. And he fortified the moral and spiritual life of the country, put God first in everything he did. He built up the national economy, the military. And one of the greatest things that he did was that he set up a system for the city of Jerusalem to furnish fresh water to the city of Jerusalem. Now, this is in 2 Kings 20 and verse 20. It says, "Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord." And he goes on to make all of these sacrifices and so forth. And then they open up this water system there that will supply water for the city of Jerusalem. So when an alien army would come against them, they would at least have the fresh water that they could depend upon. So here we are, King Hezekiah leading his people, seeking to do the right thing and honoring God and exalting him. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And yet, we find this national crisis that shows up. The Assyrians invade the land. And they are going through, taking one town after another and after another. And Hezekiah attempts to pay a tribute to them. He says, "You know, I'll give you so much if you don't come in, you know." Compromising, you're trying to a little bit. You know, it's like the diplomats do, right? All of the figures in government are always trying to move things here, there, and yonder, and try to appease Putin, or appease the Chinese, or appease whoever, you know. And sometimes it works for a while, but then sooner or later, you got to face up to reality, don't you? And we have to realize that we have to trust in God. He says that this is where we need to be. And so anyway, it worked for a while. Then the Assyrians still came against Jerusalem. After robbing the treasure, the Assyrians intended now to take over the people. And this is one of the things that they did when they were taking over a country. It says here in Isaiah 36, previous chapter, verse 16. And they're giving a message here, the Assyrians are. And he says, "Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, every one of his fig tree, drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards." All right, let's all eat, you know, eat and happy, be happy, enjoy yourself, you know. And one of these days we're going to come along and take you to another country. But you'll still have a good time. You know, it's all going to work out. So he's compromising here with them and trying to get them to join in with him and allow him to take over the whole territory and move these people out and move some other people in. That was one of the systems that they used. You know, that way they would have more peace. And they would be in a different place. They wouldn't have the power of being in their own country. And so this is one of the systems that they used. Make them all happy. Give them plenty to eat and then come in and put them in chains. Take them to another country. So that's not too good of a solution, really, for this whole situation. And here we see their treachery and deceit in action. They were trying to appease the people, get them happy, and then lower the boom. That's what they're doing. This is the way Satan operates, right? He's the great deceiver. He tells you, oh, you know, you can do this. There's no problem here. This is nice. You know, let's just enjoy ourselves. Oh, you don't have to worry about God. You know, he's up in heaven somewhere. You know, and you don't have to even think about that. Just follow me. You know, he even told Jesus, didn't he? You bow down and worship me, and I'll give you anything you want. Right? You can have all the kingdoms of the world. Of course, the Lord Jesus did not fall for that. And he overcame the temptations of Satan. And how did he do that? Do you remember? How did Jesus overcome the temptations of the devil? He went back into the Old Testament and he quoted to him the very scriptures there in Deuteronomy that say, you know, that we are to worship God and him alone. We are to follow him. And he overcame that. And that's what we need to do. I don't mean that Deuteronomy necessarily. You got the New Testament. You can get into there and find some scripture that will help you to overcome the deceit, the deceptions of Satan and all of those who would turn you astray from following after God. You know, there's a lot of different messages out there today. But we have to stick with the one that we have here, right? This is the answer. This is the Word of God. And we need to follow it as best we can, you know? Now, we won't be perfect, will we? Any perfect people here? No, I don't think so. Anyway, we all are going to fall short in some area, and yet we can rejoice that God is with us and that we can overcome the devil and all of his promises, all of his cohorts, and have the victory. So anyway, we find here these are the tactics of the enemy. Psychological warfare, threats, and then they reproached the Lord God. This is where they made a mistake. You know, they made a big mistake here when they offended God. Right? They said, ah, you're God just like all the other idols, all the other gods in the world, you know. And the Lord didn't like that too well. He took offense at that. And that's the reason they were not able to succeed in what they were doing. But here we find Hezekiah's response here to all of this. He humbled himself before the Lord and prayed. That's where we have to start, isn't it? You know, whenever there's a crisis, whatever kind it is, and even for our own country, with what we're going through, and all the different problems and everything that keep cropping up, we need to look to the Lord, humble ourselves before him, and allow him to help us to overcome these things. And he rent his clothes, it says. You know, they always tore their clothes when there was a problem. And he covered himself with this sackcloth, you know, that rough material, doesn't feel good. And then he went into the house of the Lord and he prayed, sought the Lord's face and looked to him. And he sent for God's word from Isaiah the prophet. He looked to God's man to give him the answer that he needed from God. Isaiah prayed to God, he looked to God, and the Lord gave him the answer that he needed to hear. And so here we have, he's looking to the right people. In verse 5, notice what he says. In verse 5, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And what did Isaiah say to them? Thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard. Don't fear. Isn't that what he always says? Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Look to God and trust him. And don't worry about what's going on around you. Right? Just follow the Lord. Serve him. That's what he's saying. Be not afraid of their words. They've blasphemed me. I'll take care of it. That's what he's saying. You know? Now they're accusing God of not being powerful enough. He says, I'll show them. I'll show them just how powerful I am. So he says, thus, be not afraid. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And that happened later. Later on, you remember we read about the angel that came into the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 soldiers. Wow. Man, what in the world was he using, I wonder? Huh? The atom bomb or something. I don't know. But anyway, we see that God is able. That's something we need to think about, isn't it? We can overcome these things if we'll look to him. And that's what Isaiah is telling Hezekiah. You don't be afraid. You just wait. Be still and know that I am God. That's what he's saying. Yeah? That's what he told Moses way back. And here we find that he's going to answer their prayers. Notice here in verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from Sennacherib, and he read it, and he went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. He spread it out before the Lord. Isn't that great? Here they are, Lord. This is what they're saying. What are you going to do about it? Right? He opened it up and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, gave him the glory, the praise, the honor, and he got the answer that he was looking for. So here we find this wonderful way that he is trusting the Lord. You can see the faith of this man, right? He believed in the Lord. He knew he was going to help him. And we need to have that same faith. You know, we're saved by faith, yes. But we also, what? Walk by faith. We walk by faith, day by day. You know, we don't need to worry and fret and try to figure out all these things. God will give us the answer if we will look to him. Now, I'm not saying it's always going to be peaches and cream, you know. Ice cream along the way. No, nothing like that. We might have problems and difficulties, but he will give us the best answer if we will just look to him, trust him for whatever is coming. And here we see the Lord destroying their army, and they went back to Assyria, back to Nineveh, it said. And it makes a sound here, like as soon as he got back, he got killed. But that's not true. They said it was about 20 years later. So this was a long term that was coming. It came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of his God, that two of his sons came and killed him with the sword. Well, I don't know what he was doing at that time that they didn't like. But anyhow, God said he was going to judge him, and he did. You know, he doesn't always work on the same schedule that we do. Sometimes it might be later, and yet he will work according to his will. And Jeremiah tells us in one place thinking of Hezekiah and what he did. Jeremiah says, call unto me, God. God says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, when we don't know which way to turn. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And then he tells us, right? That's all we have to do. And if we'll just look to him, he says, I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't even realize. So the lessons we learn here from Hezekiah are, first of all, to choose the true and the living God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to serve him wholeheartedly. Give yourself to him. Don't hold back. And this means receiving all that he has for us. Salvation and eternal life. Forgiveness of our sins and cleansing. And that we might walk with him day by day. How wonderful it is when we do that. In times of trouble, we need to take it all to the Lord in prayer. Now, I know we pray here. We pray quite often, don't we? And I know you pray at home. And we just need to have the faith to believe that God is going to answer those prayers. Take your prayers to him, and he will answer them. I know he's answered them many, many times for us, this church here. We could have gone under how many times, you know? And yet God has always come to our rescue one way or another, and we are still here. And we're going to continue on as long as he sees fit, right? So he has the answer to every crisis, whatever it might be. He's there to help us and to lead us and guide us. We just need to trust in him. I trust in the Lord, it says, with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll make it all straight, right? He'll work everything out for us if we'll only look to him. Our Father, we thank you so much this morning for your precious word to our hearts and this example that we have in King Hezekiah. And we just thank you, Lord, for the great and mighty things that you are doing in our lives today, some that we don't even realize. And we pray that you will continue to help us, guide us, lead us. And may we trust in you. May we believe in you. May we follow you and walk in the way that you'd have us to go. We pray in Jesus' name.